the meeting with the Nevada County Board of Supervisors to order.
Turn down.
Yeah.
Please stand.
We will begin with the pledge of allegiance followed by a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Now we'll adopt the agenda for the meeting. Are there any relevant changes or other updates?
I move that we adopt the agenda as presented.
Second.
Motion's been made by Mr. Clifford, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 4-0. Mr. O'Donnell is absent. County Administrator, now we'll hear the County Administrator's report. Mr. Nichols.
So, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, a few things to cover. Santa Parish today celebrated their 40th, in a few days, it'll actually be 40 years, day for day, but Santa Parish has celebrated 40 years with the clerk's office, and is not retiring, is still working, but 40 years is a pretty big milestone, so they had a little soiree for her today. New recreation program specialist, one of them coming on board is Allison Piano, who went to high school here in Savannah and then graduated from Radford earlier this year in exercise sports and health education. She'll be the new Parks and Rec program specialist starting July 11th.
What's her name again?
Allison Piano. Piano. It's Piano, yeah. Anyway, so she's excited to get her first job out of college. Excited to have her on board. And the bike station, remember a couple years ago, Jim Bryan, retired Colonel Jim Bryan, passed away while he was riding his bike in Pleasant Grove Park, and his family dedicated a bike station at the trailhead near the Pleasant Grove Park pole barn. And so you can see on there the new bike station that includes two wheels and pumps and things like that for bicyclists in the park. And a nice touch by the family and dedicated in memory of their loved one.
Really nice.
Yeah, it's a great addition to the park. And then one of the Eagle Scouts, Sean Best, did a new bridge in one of the areas to be able to get through where it's kind of muddy and sloppy, and had some help to advance the Quail Trail meadow system there, and had a bunch of help from volunteers that helped him put those in. So that project's completed now. The summer reading programs at the library are going really well, as always, and they've had gangbuster crowds for the different programs. Party Magic was 240 kids. You can imagine how wild that would be. A lot of game nights and board games they've been doing. They also had workshops that are STEM themed workshops that are pretty full, and the registration has waiting lists on them, plus some other camps later this summer. And you can see that they're having big crowds there again, as they always do. And there's the program. The library staff has been instrumental in helping.
What are they park? I mean, don't they run out of parking space?
Well, actually, with the extended parking out to the side, they have pretty good parking to go for. But sometimes they actually go to the traffic circle and pay in. So, but it works out pretty well. And Liz McIver's been spearheading most of the workshop efforts. The Red Rock and Candy, did a press release just a while back. So Charlie, the owner, has been traveling by road, rail, and air all around to different distributors, wholesale distributors, and attending events around the country. And that'll be going on through the end of summer and marketing her business, which is great for Savannah County. A couple of changes on the Virginia Public Records Act and the Freedom of Information Act. Kelly Harris has been working with one of the staff in the County Attorney's Office, Christina Gibley, to work on the updated rules that went into effect July 1st. So she's been implementing some of those changes in concert with Ms. Gibley, and the clerk in her position as clerk of the Bill of Service Records Officer for the county. But constitutional officers and agencies will also have to appoint their own. Well, they could come under us, but they have chosen to do their own, so they'll have to follow the same rules. And then for four, the same day, Ms. Harris will cover the county departments and then the constitutional officers and agencies. We have to also appoint a four officer. So the rules have been tightened up, we're more strict, require more notices, require easier access, and also require more posting of who's responsible and how they access records. And those updates have all been made. But it's not a huge change for us, other than some documentation changes. But the records part is going to take a lot of work to catch up on records for the whole county on the new rules on what's retained and what's not retained and the length of time. VDOT has got two bridge structure replacements and updates coming in the next few months. The Academy Road Bridge, it's on the south side of Fuma, Academy Road, and if you go back on that road, on the right-hand side is the Public Works Building, and just down from the Public Works Building, below that, is a bridge there, and that bridge will be replaced later this summer. And they'll send out notices on detour routes and coordinate with schools and things on the routes that affect school routes and EMS. But the Deep Creek Road one near, up near Dogwood Drive, up near Kent Store, is also going to be replaced. And that's a Deep Creek Road right near the intersection with Dogwood. And that bridge is also going to be replaced later in late fall, early winter. And
what happened with the 106? Why it's still? It's been quite a delay.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to ask VDOT specifically, but originally when they started to put that down, they found that the footers and the way they were going to lay that bridge in would not work the way they had planned, and so they had to kind of back up. So now we've got half of the new bridge done. The other half of the new bridge is actually, the concrete's been poured now on it, so I don't think it will be terribly much longer. I want to say they said August, but it has been a long time, and it's a pain going through there, especially going 25 through areas where there's not much there. But anyway, next time, I think VDOT is coming. Are they coming August 3rd, Karen? VDOT? It's either the 3rd or the 17th that VDOT's on the agenda. And then you may have seen on the website and through fan mail, the Commonwealth has this survey called IU Online VA, and it's a very short survey. But anyone can go online to ruonlinevirginia.gov. They're trying to collect information from all across the Commonwealth with your addresses and zip codes and find out, do you have access to internet? What type of internet service do you need? Do you need this? Do you need that? Now, the good thing is, this data from this survey will help, when we set up our broadband task force, will help by populating some of the data we need from our county too. So I'm encouraging as many people as possible to fill this survey out and click on the link. It's in FanMail online, but anytime you can help get the word out too, I'd appreciate that. Because
is this from the governor?
Yeah, it's from the Commonwealth.
Commonwealth.
Okay.
Because I think that some letters have been sent out to churches.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe there's a real incorrect assumption that the governor's going to make sure everybody has internet.
There's definitely an incorrect assumption because
yes,
it requires funding.
So, yeah.
That may be the intent, but
right. And so people are thinking the governor's going to have internet for everybody and what, you know.
Sure.
But I haven't seen the letter, so
I've seen this, and there's the information out there that's a little more misexplained, but it really talks about we're trying to identify what the needs are,
right.
Not necessarily where we're going to go and now put it in.
Sure.
But it is obviously a big topic and important now.
I'll try to find that letter and give you a copy so we can see what's what.
So anyway, that little survey is out there, but please take time to click on the website, the link on the website, and fill that survey out. It's really useful to get that data in, and we can help it, because we can pull it by zip code that I want to get it to. Jefferson Center Dam, if you know where Villanova's is, and Asian Cafe, and the other things on the Jefferson Center side, the gas station side of Turkey Side Gate entrance to the lake, behind that complex where the goodwill is, there is a retention pond back there that's been all overgrown in really bad shape. The contractors now finally come in and done some extra work on it. And we did a walk around about 2 months ago on Bridlewood, which is the first road into the lake from the Turkey Side Gate on the right, because there's a lot of drainage problems there and water flowing through people's yards and through the stream beds that are there. But the work they've done on this retention pond and on the berm there, the dam, has really helped. And the last big rain that there was about 3 or 4 weeks ago, there was a big one. Catherine Lee, the general manager of the lake, said that the water flow was much better after that storm than it had been before. So we're hoping to continue them doing these emergency repairs and getting back to the way it's supposed to be, because it's been a problem for a number of years. And then the tower project is underway at the sheriff's office. In case you haven't been over there, you can see if you're facing the front of the sheriff's office, if you look to the back and right-hand side on the hill there is where the tower's been there. You can see on the footer, the concrete footer, as well as being dug there, and the work that's going on prepping that site for one of the radio towers. And then this, you've got a copy in front of the yellow survey that you've got. A while back, you approved a grant request to the state for $30,000 for Piedmont Housing Alliance. It had to be under the county of Fluvanna's name, but it's sponsored by Piedmont Housing Alliance to get a planning grant to try to figure out whether or not, A, do we need affordable senior housing in our community, and B, would the two schools, the old schools, be suitable in that? Now, we've been talking to Piedmont Housing Alliance for 2 years about this, but it's actually moving forward now. The first part of the grant was approved, and the dollars have been issued, or will be issued, and that is for the initial survey and analysis and community meetings. One of the community meetings was last week with representatives of JABA, Jaunt, county staff, Piedmont Housing Alliance, and about 45 citizens that were there to come in and talk about it. So as part of that work group and part of that citizens review, the survey was developed, and I'll click on the link here. This is what the survey looks like online. It's the same as your yellow sheet there. Pretty easy to fill out, just check some boxes down through there, and it will tell us kind of the need for senior housing in our community, and that's what we're trying to get lots of data on. We're going to try to get these out to every church in the county. We'll have links, it's already on the website and the phone now. We'd like to get thousands of responses, if possible, to send back to the state to let them know how important affordable housing is in our community, too, because we don't have any senior affordable housing in our community. In this case, if Piedmont Housing Alliance can make this a viable opportunity, we get the schools off our hands and sold, it becomes potentially independent living facilities in our community for seniors to be able to stay in our community and not have to age out to other areas, but be near their families, and still get accrued tax revenue from the residents that live there. So hopefully this could be a potentially good project. They did the same thing with the Scottsville school several years ago. That's been turned into affordable senior housing, and it was an old school that it's done. Now this is not a Fluvanna County project. It would be a project between JABA and PHA to procure these schools or work with us on acquiring the schools and then take this project on, and it's their project, not ours, that it would benefit our community. So this is the part of the planning grant that you approved about a month or maybe 2 months ago, and this survey is part of that. So if you fill out those before you go tonight and just give them to Kelly or to Jason Smith, we'd be glad to get new information loaded in the system too. And then your next meeting is coming up. Remember, you don't have any meetings the rest of the month. You've got the 4 o'clock meeting today and the 7 o'clock meeting for public hearings. And then the rest of your July is free. And then you'll meet again regularly starting in August 3rd and August 17th. And just a reminder, the August 17th, we'll be doing the revenue enhancement updates, the workshop that day. So that'll be at 4 o'clock. And I'll give you reminders ahead of time. But 4 o'clock on the 17th for a work session and then your regular 7 o'clock meeting. Any questions, Matt? I can answer for the board.
No.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nichols. Now we'll hear updates from each supervisor regarding any meetings they've attended. Mr. O'Brien?
Unfortunately, I was out of town, so I wasn't able to go to the TJPDC meeting. However, I did go to the new winery that opened up, Cunningham Creek. Quite nice. I stopped by there as I was biking through the area. They had some good wine. Of an interesting note is the fact that Labor production in Virginia is kind of limited, and so there's a real need for additional grapes in the area. That was one of the constraining factors, but they had some very good wines, and I would certainly recommend people stop by. The deals were very friendly. Homegrown through the PVCC training program, and then using some other folks as well locally to help them get their wines up and running. 4th of July, I went to the Monticello Naturalization Service. That was really very nice, very, very good. If you haven't been to one, I would recommend it. Dr. Sabato from the Center for Politics spoke there. And it was just a great opportunity to see how excited people were to have earned citizenship. And I think sometimes we forget that citizenship is not just a right, but it's a duty. And then I was in the dunk tank, so those who did like me were disappointed with me. They were mostly under the age of 11, so I didn't take that disappointment too seriously. And then I met with today with Bill Shelton, who is a Department of Housing for the state, and that had to do with trying to tie in some matters related to getting Go Virginia dollars for state, for potentially tying in internet services in a consortium for schools and potentially counties and so on. So that was kind of an interesting meeting. It's very, very much at the beginning stages, but he gave us some good ideas on how we might be able to work to leverage Go Virginia and at least prepare ourselves for that position if we were to go down that route. So a lot of different people talking about how they can tap into those dollars, as well as how they can provide rural broadband, if you would, at an affordable rate. So the schools are kind of taking a lead on their own there, in particular. Some of the school board technicians, technical directors, are really kind of taking an interest in trying to make this happen on their watch. So that was an interesting meeting. So that's about it.
Wow, that's great. Well, I attended the Wabana River Basin Commission meeting June 14th, and I missed a couple of other meetings because I was hanging out on Times Square in New York City. But the other thing is, I dropped my phone in the pond. I was swimming with the fish. I had some kids down there, and I had the phone in my pocket, and I dipped in, and it went plop. So that almost...
Did you put it in the bag of rice?
I put it in rice, but I didn't leave it in there long enough. Plus, I should have had things backed up. And I still haven't backed up anything. But that's it.
Let's see here.
I attended the Social Services Board meeting last Monday.
Okay. The only thing I'd add to Tony, I guess, is Rye Creek Vineyards. Also, that's the second one that we have in the county.
Yes,
not as far as business, so I think that's a good step forward. And I've been by your place that you're talking about several different times, and we're back today, so that is really, looks like it's starting to produce.
It is. It's nice. It's nice to see that happen.
Thistledale is now marketing as Florida's first winery. They put on all the marketing materials now.
Well, it's second.
No, Thistledale.
Thistledale first.
That's some of the marketing materials now say Florida's first winery.
Very good.
First of many, I hope.
And you wanted it in school, which is a great idea.
One of these days we'll work something out. We've got 800, no man. So we have 800 acres at Pleasant Grove.
Yeah.
And possibly having something in the works that we can take, that we can have a small, component about agricultural uses. Get something going on, and we've got Virginia Tech working with us possibly, and have a small working farm, possibly a vineyard.
I'm talking about Piedmont.
Piedmont, they jump that on. Just to myself, thinking about the egg.
The
egg
people,
I did not have any meetings, but I do have one piece of sad news, and it's appropriate that it's on Wednesday. If some of you haven't heard, the county lost 48-0. George West this past week, Tuesday, I believe, passed away. And the reason I say it's very appropriate on Wednesday is he spent about 30 years Run and Rescue Squad calls every Wednesday night, so. His service, the visitation, I'm not sure what time, it's going to be at the funeral home Friday night, and his service is going to be at the high school at 4 o'clock on Saturday. I found that out.
And it's all at night?
It is at 4 o'clock. That's what.
Yes.
That's what, thank you. I got word from that direction, so I may be wrong, I may have to come back and correct that, but I believe it's at 4.
Okay.
And I'm just waiting on confirmation, all the dates and times to send out the rest of the staff. I talked to Linda earlier this afternoon, but she hadn't gotten the final details yet from Gloria.
Well, please keep that going on the thoughts of prayers, because they've been going through a rough time, and he's in a better place right now. God knows he's driving a school bus by his fast seat driving. But they got him in heaven. Now we'll open the third round of public comment. Anyone wishing to address the board should come to the podium and state your name and address. Please keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and direct it to the board. Anyone wishing to address the board at this time? Ms. Foreman.
It's okay, that would still be accurate.
Ms. Foreman.
Good afternoon. I have some handouts, Mr. Nichols, if you wouldn't mind just handing that out. Thank you. My name's Emily Bago, and I manage the senior nutrition programs for JABA, and I'm just here to provide a quick update. Mr. Nichols is handing out some reports from each of our departments at JABA and some heartfelt stories from those we have the pleasure to work with. Hope you all are having a wonderful summer. I just want to add that July is Volunteer Recruitment Month at JABA, and I want to share that a simple act of kindness can change the world. New research has shown that volunteering actually improves your health and well-being, and all around you there are people who need a helping hand. JABA has a number of opportunities for you to make a difference in the lives of area seniors, their families, and caregivers. And we encourage you all to visit our website to get some more information. This month specifically, we're really doing a big push for volunteer recruitment, so check out what might be available. And tying on to what was said earlier, we are very excited about the affordable housing project for Fluvanna and excited to be involved in those efforts to develop affordable senior housing in the county alongside PHA and the county itself. So we are right now in the process, as stated earlier, distributing surveys, and we have staff working to get those out and about. So we're excited to be a part of that. And more specifically, regarding our Community Senior Center program, we are looking forward to working alongside the newly assigned Parks and Rec Director, Aaron, as we approach another year of collaborating with Parks and Rec for the Fort Union Center as well as the VFW Hall. Our participants remain engaged in the program, and we have taken wonderful trips and continue to enjoy a variety of activities on a weekly basis. We are pleased with how far we have come with our partnership, and we remain eager to expand to some new locations in the county alongside Parks and Rec and their wonderful team. And a quick story about one of our most devoted Fluvanna participants at the Fort Union Center. She's 91. She lives alone and remains very active in the community. This has much to do with her dedication to activity and to movement, but we do feel that the center program and the relationships established at this place have further instilled her drive to remain involved and engage. The center took a trip this year to Charlottesville, and they stopped at Outback for lunch, a first for many, including this one participant. So opportunities to visit new places and take field trips are provided to all who attend our program. So now it is her favorite restaurant. But just want to share, you know, she also greatly benefits from meeting with the JABA Options Counselor, and she participated in the fan care program through JABA and was able to receive a fan to keep her home cool in the summer heat. She's one of our biggest volunteers. She helps serve lunch, she collects donations, she plays the piano, and she participates in our fish program at Central Elementary. So, something to strive for at the age of 91. She is but one story of so many whom we are so grateful to know and work with every week. So, that's it. I thank you all for your time. Check out our website, and thank you for your support.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Daydon. Ms. Daydon, I leave next Wednesday. The vacation, Monday or Tuesday, if there's something that needs to be done, please shoot me an email. I can volunteer a nice young 15-year-old.
That's leadership.
There you go. Let him learn right now. All right.
Anyone else wish to speak for public comment? Okay, not seeing anyone else wishing to speak, I'll now call in the first round of public comment. The public hearings are going to be done this evening at 7 o'clock, so we will move to our action matters. Now we will move to action matter at tab T. The appointment, Parks and Recreation Advisory Board, Mr. Nichols.
So there are four vacancies to fill. I'm just calling up here. The computer's asleep. There you go. So there are three current members, David Wood, Walter Hussey, and Jerry Custer, and then three additional members that are requesting appointment, and there are four slots that we need to fill. So you can select from those six candidates, and four names are what we need for the Parks and Rec Advisory Board. And so you'll see those on the screen there.
And
yes, ma'am?
Well, I have three of them already taken care of.
Well, they're current members.
Current members.
They're asking for reappointment.
Yes. And these individuals know their names on the list.
Yes.
Yeah.
We always contact every individual before the
board is named. Because I said Jessica Carter. And I know that all of them are good, but I know she's a young lady that's in council, in prison, women's prison.
I move to appoint or reappoint David Wood, Walter Hussey, Jerry Custer, and Wendy Edwards to the Parks and Rec Advisory Board with a term to begin July 1st, 2016, and to terminate June 30th, 2019.
Second.
A motion made by Ms. Eager, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Now we'll move to action matter U, appointment, reappointment, Region 10 Board of Directors, Mr. Nichols.
So just one note, the motion on the screen, please. I just added a couple words for clarity. But in this case, there's just one person, the current member is requesting reappointment, Dr. Jerry Swigert. I'm requesting reappointment to the Region 10 Board of Directors.
I move to reappoint Jerry Swigert to the Region 10 Board of Directors with a term to begin immediately and to terminate June 30th, 2018.
Second.
Motion's been made by Mrs. Eager, seconded by Mrs. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0.
For Ag Forester, we've got two members, one of whom is a current member and one who is requesting appointment, and they're the two candidates for two vacant positions.
Okay, so
I move to appoint Richard Tally and reappoint Laura Lee to the Agriculture and Forestry Advisory Committee with a term to begin immediately and to terminate June 30th, 2020.
Second.
Motion's been made by Mrs. Eager, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Next will be the appointment to the Economic Development and Tourism Advisory Council, Business Chamber, EDA members, Mr. Nichols.
Okay, so if you look at the screen there for a moment, please, this is a significantly revised motion because I broke it out in just one motion, so it's easier to read, and it's just a single person being appointed as a representative from their organization. One is the business rep, and then one is from the EDA, one is from the chamber, and one is from the historical society. What was not in the package, because it just came in early this morning or late yesterday afternoon, was Tricia Johnson's request to be the Historical Society representative. Mm-hmm. Normally we would get those packages in advance, but because these are representatives from their organizations, we asked for a rep, and they named the rep, so essentially all you do is naming these folks. The only one we really have some player say would be the county business representative. There are two of those on the chamber. We only have one candidate right now who are on the slots. We'll continue to look for candidates. And that candidate for tonight is Mr. Garcia. So this is a significantly revised motion, but it takes all the ones you had in your package, the four of them, just rolls them into one to make it easier.
Right. I move to appoint the following persons to the Economic Development and Tourism Advisory Council. Rudy Garcia as a Fulvana County Business Representative, Pam Dempsey as the Fulvana County Chamber of Commerce Representative, Curtis Putnam as the Economic Development Authority Representative, and Tricia Johnson as the Flavanna County Historical Society representative with the term to begin July 1st, 2016, and to terminate June 30th, 2019.
Second. Motion been made by Ms. Seager, seconded by Ms. Jordan. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Next, appointment, Economic Development and Tourism Advisory Council, district appointments, Mr. Nichols.
So in this case, you've got one candidate for the Columbia District, Fork Union District, and Palmyra District, and two candidates for the Ravana District. And because I could have rolled these together the same way too, but because these are board appointments, not, you know, the necessary candidate, I left them out as four separate motions. So those are the four candidates you've got, or the five candidates you've got. Three of them, if you agree with them, would be their names, and then you have to select between Suzanne Cotalesa and Mike Fiesel.
I would like to see Mike Fiesel on the board.
Okay. Do you want me to read these separately?
Yes, please. Well, Mr. Payne, can you just read the names and list the district position and then the term for all of them?
Okay. I move to appoint from the Columbia District, Andrew Searle, from the Flick Union District, Dave Sagarin, the Palmyra District, Linda Bennett, and Mike Fiesel? From the Ravana District, to the Economic Development and Tourism Advisory Council with a term to begin July 1st, 2016 and to terminate June 30th, 2019.
Second. Motion been made by Ms. Seager and seconded by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0.
Now, just a note, I appreciate you taking action on these. Normally, we try to get two or three candidates for each one. We just haven't gotten them, and we're really anxious to kick the MTAC off. Jason Smith is just chomping at the bit because there's so many talented people in this group that we've got a lot of tasks already ready to go, and the first meeting is going to be next week. So.
I'm not sure about the other districts, but I can tell you right now, the night after we said we were going to do it, I heard from Mr. Searle.
Right away. Mr. Searle was the same way, and Ms. Bennett, I think somebody's there.
Yeah, I thought so.
It's locked, a lot of enthusiasm out there. We've got some great projects for them, but we're really looking forward to the teamwork support out there, so that should be great.
Alrighty, so we are down here to the reappointment Youth Advisory Council.
Okay, I move to reappoint William Hughes, who's currently a member to the Youth Advisory Council, with a term to begin July 1, 2016 and to terminate June 30, 2018.
Second. Motion been made by Mr. Booker and seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0.
So one note about the Youth Advisory Council. Dr. Myers and I were talking last week, and I didn't really realize this. I thought the Youth Advisory Council, and I've been kind of had this wrong in my head, was a group of teenagers and the kids and then some adult advisors, and the kids would get together and plan stuff and do things. But apparently it's not. It's really the big people planning things to do for kids and activities and educational opportunities. So maybe to make it more clear, maybe during your next budget cycle, you might want to consider changing this to the Youth Services Council, because that's really what you're doing, the services. You're not advising anything. You're setting up programs and things. If it was kids advising or making recommendations for the board, that'd be one thing. But anyway, it just seems like it would be more intuitive if it were a different naming convention. But
And we do bring in youth.
Yeah, sometimes, right.
Sometimes, and we've done surveys stuff like that. But it's big people.
It just seems like it's all the services function. But
youth
department.
Yeah. Supplemental appropriation for the Foreign Heritage Museum FY16 CIP budget. Martin Bookert, management analyst.
I'm going to jump up on this one since Marty's a little fresh on this one. Back in November, the board approved an original budget appropriation of $128,299 with $15,000 coming from the county and the remaining $113,299 coming from grants and historical society funds that were raised at that point. Since that point, the Historical Society has raised additional funds for the project, for the Farm Heritage Museum. All they're wanting to do is, we're just kind of coming to you for a formal supplemental appropriation to be able to have that additional budget authority. There is no additional county money being requested from this request. It's just, like I said, the Historical Society, they have raised some additional funds. They got an additional grant, so like I said, it's going to be additional $47,525.73. And we'll probably come back to it at another point, because I know they're still keeping the fundraising.
Hey, you got another grant. I don't know if it's not what you're talking about.
Probably.
Here you have in here, funded by grants and other local resources. Now, I noticed that we put in county profits. Is that what we're
referring to? Yeah, the $15,000 is the county profits. That's when the board approved that back in November.
Okay.
It wasn't coming from fund balance. There was county profits that were available, and that's what the board used for this project.
Yeah, originally it was $5,000. And we changed to 15 to be able to help get additional grant money. But still, additional fundraising would be required. And also on your agenda is the request for proposals for the...
It's the task order for Draper Aiden to start with the site plan, the site work for the museum itself.
This is really more a formality of an accounting to make sure his books are in order to show that here's what the project costs. So even though nothing changes, the account is still $15,000 out of taxpayer dollars.
It's on, well, it's the profit money, so.
Yeah.
Well,
somebody's, yes. But that's already been approved. Like I said, I'm just looking back to approve the additional budget authority from what the Historical Society has raised since November.
Okay. We have a motion.
I move the Board of Supervisors approve the supplemental appropriation of $47,525.73 in the FY16. CIP Farm Heritage Museum budget to account for funding from grants and other local sources.
Second.
Motion been made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mrs. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Aye. Last one, C, Public Works Department position upgrades. Ms. Parrish.
Once again, we reviewed our positions when Marvin Morton retired, and in FUSD we were taking a look at requirements for utilities technicians, and a lot of in the past they didn't really look at what was needed, and as we're growing our water systems, we need to have technicians that are willing to fix things. They've been getting in there and doing things. Mr. Morton was doing the work of a technician, although his position was just classified as an entry-level worker. Once Mr. Morton retired, one of our internal people from the grounds department transferred. He was holding the position while Mr. Morton was out for a while. And in order to get him the ability to do the work, they had to get him significant training. Once I reviewed what his current training is, I recommended that it be a utility systems operator trainee. And that would be a pay band 9. Which just starts at $30,771. The problem is, he needs to get a licensure. He has to be licensed. Once they receive this, what is it, 2 years or 1 year he has? 2 years. He has 2 years to receive this. This is a lot of work, and it is extremely high dedication to getting there. And once he has it, he can train others, trainees that come in. So what we're looking at this position is, once the person does receive that license, he would qualify as a water operator under the systems. So what we're asking at this time, so he knows as he's working towards it, that he would be, once he receives that license, a water operator. which would go to a band 11. We wouldn't fill that. It would only be one position. But once he moves into that with that license, he would get that increase. Just like when the deputies go to the law enforcement academy, they get that increase because once they become a law enforcement officer, and they're not licensed, but they pass all the certifications, we give them that increase.
In this case, we're only talking about two people,
yeah,
but three positions only ever filled with two people. So we need two trainees, one trainee and one water system operator, or two operators if they're both licensed. And so this is what was discussed during budget season, and the dollars for this and the program for this were already approved during budget season. This is just codifying it on those documents. But it's still only two people. It's not increasing the number of personnel. It's just realigning the billets and making sure that the positions match the skill set we want in those jobs.
Any questions?
Any other questions?
Well, I'm just going to point out something here. Then we always have to watch out for legal positions. And did you all know that you had to be able to sing, and you had to be able to hear, have to stop? That's one of the requirements.
What was that?
You have to see and hear.
You do? That's all. I never wanted to do that.
That's a good thing, not being able to do it.
Yeah.
That's part of the description. See, I just commented.
Physically. Yes.
We may be able to make accommodations for that, but that is a function that is needed.
So if you couldn't sing,
You'd have to be able to smell with a nose. So on the water system, that's
let's see utilities.
I'm going to move to make the motion.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I move to approve the following prescription description revisions and pay changes from utility technician pay band 9, $30,771 to utility system operator training pay band 9, $30,771 from assistant water operator pay band 7, $29,360 to utility system operator training pay band 9, $30,681 from water operator pay band 11, which is vacant, to utility system operator pay band 11, which is vacant. With funding from reclassifications to come from the FY17 approved pay plan.
Second.
Motion been made by Mrs. Booker and seconded by Mrs. Egan. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Now we have to move on to presentations, and that is going to be tab D. Ms. Myers?
Dr. Myers, come up, please. So it's an update on strategic initiatives. Our last update notes that I had June 9th. So what I'm going to do is just take you through some of the things I want to highlight that we've had some movement and progress on. The first one, we've talked about local broadband task force, what they might accomplish. It's a little bit on hold, but as Mr. Nichols has already said, the RU Online Virginia State Survey that's posted on the website, that actually lead to us qualifying for federal funding for broadband expansion. So we don't know, we're just keeping an eye on that and see what happens in the future. I'm taking you now to A3, perform process improvement review of building inspection processes. It's ongoing. It's going to be an ongoing project, but it started. Mr. Moldovan has already, he obviously been hired. He's already met with Mr. Sheridan, and discussions are moving this forward.
We'll give you an update on that at your work session, too.
The other Mr. Sheridan.
Yes. The older Mr. Sheridan.
Yeah.
But we'll give you an update at your work session discussion on that, because Mr. Mavell and Mr. Sheridan and I and Finance all met together, but Mr. Mavell put together a really good list of the results of that meeting and the kinds of things that they're going to do to collaborate to update systems on this side, update systems that side, and improve the connection between the two. So a lot of good work already in a short time.
And then I take you to A8, created an improved system for managing and tracking of SUPs and subdivisions. Now, weekly meetings are being held to discuss mailings and legal issues. The Microsoft Access software system is being updated more frequently, so it's a better management of that tracking and information.
What about A4? Internet credit card payment options.
Research is in progress. That's the best I can tell you on that. I can't find anything that would say that we've made any steps.
Right, because when we were doing taxes, if people didn't have the money, even the direct change, they could not pay their taxes because there's no debit cards, no... if you had money, you had to have this.
Cash or check at the window.
Cash or check at the window. And that just seems to be a little bit behind.
Well, I think we need to look at it on both sides. How much revenue also will we lose on that? You know, certainly credit cards is here to stay. And I think we all have one, but I think we need to look at it also from that perspective.
But you won't lose a nickel because you'll change your adjuster rate so that you cover the cost of that issuance.
There's no
you can decide however you want, and frankly, I don't recommend that because it will be some cost. But there's clearly no reason whatsoever why you can't say that the fee is $103 instead of $100. Mm-hmm. I mean, for whatever they're paying.
You can charge a convenience.
Right.
Oh, okay. Same difference then.
But there's a thousand ways to implement this.
Okay.
But the first step is to implement it.
And would it be less work or less, would it save time?
Or save man hours.
Vastly less work.
Vastly less work.
And cheaper than processing paper checks.
Right.
And doing all the paperwork for it and sending it through the bank and et cetera, et cetera,
right.
et cetera. It's just...
I think if...
Well, in different times you don't have such an amount of finances sitting in one spot.
Sure.
Yeah, and I think if we could point out the advantages and the maybe make it a little bit more attractive, because it's hard sometimes when you've been doing things the same old way to have to change if you don't really understand it and see what advantage it is. But I mean, that is, you know, that's really back in, that's really old time, not using.
Yeah, that is. Cards low charge, like 5%?
Some from 1.5% to 5%. It depends on what the merchants
services. And then you get rebates.
Well, when we use our credit cards here, the county credit cards, we get rebated money off that. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty good deal to use our county credit card and like the Staples account we have, because we get cash back on that.
Sure.
But
mm-hmm.
when individuals use their credit card to pay their tax bill or to pay their dog tags or okay. whatever they go there to pay, there is a charge for us having credit card services. That merchant's services account will cost us money, but you can build that cost directly into your payments, into your rates.
Okay.
The key is, if you're going to pay $1,000, do you really want to pay, you know, another $100 in a service charge? That's nuts. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't have to be $100.
Sure. Now, the private
provider we're using now is a little bit more expensive, and maybe we can reduce that down, but it takes the first step of meeting with banks and meeting with merchant services accounts and getting this going. I can't do that.
Yeah, but it's usually like a per transaction, it might be anywhere between a quarter to 10 cents, and then from the negotiated rate that you would have, you might pay anywhere between 0.5% up to, 2.5% or something along those lines. But a lot depends on the volume that you do, and that's what they're going to measure. And so it may be a little bit more expensive to begin with, and then a little bit less expensive as the transaction volume increases. Sure. I would imagine that
the volume of dollars we're going to be pushed through.
Yeah, I would imagine a lot of those providers, and it would seem to me a relatively easy thing for the treasurer to be able to put out a request for information or a request for proposal from a number of credit card providers that could, you know, provide competitive rates so that a decision could be made, and then the rates could be, you know, the decision could be made as to what the convenience fee should or shouldn't be.
No, when we sign that contract, it'll come up to you all anyway.
So, you know, but it's a convenience to the consumer. They don't have to pay that way. They don't
still
want
pay
to.
With cash or check.
That's right. There's nothing stopping them from doing it, but certainly a lot of consumers will go ahead and use that convenience, and we don't have to absorb it, but it should save the county quite a bit of money. Obviously, the county could decide based on the fee that's negotiated and the incentive that we might want to put in place whether we want to assume some subsidization of it due to, you know, reduced labor costs to make it attractive.
The staff that's there, if you don't have as many people at the window, well, then you got more time to do other things. But, oh, by the way, you don't have to process a check because it's already electronically in your system because it was a credit card payment. There are lots of efficiencies to be had here. Even if there's additional cost, you can balance that off. I'm quite sure I could do an analysis on this and make the case that this is the smart thing to do. Mm-hmm. But I can't. It's not my...
Yeah, we can't say it has to be done. That's up to our treasurer.
No, you can say it has to be done.
We can say,
yeah,
I
don't think there's any reason why the board can't. Mr. Payne, can you help me? I don't think there's any reason why we can't say that we want this done. But there are things that the treasurer has legal authority over.
I can't answer the question. Okay.
Well, I would like to recommend that
if you want to do it.
Procurement officer, go ahead and make a request for information from some credit card companies so that we can get this ball rolling, if that research hasn't been done already.
We'll see. You may not be able to do it that way, depending on the amount, because we may have to have requests for bids.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
A request for a bid or for information in terms of what the potential cost.
Yeah, I think you need more information.
Informal investigation.
Yeah, certainly. So you have an RFI, you know, or RFB, right? Yeah. Request for a bid or request for information to gather the information.
I guess
the treasurer's already done that, but if they haven't, then I'd like to suggest.
My guess is it's probably pretty competitive.
Yeah, I would think so.
Many credit card companies.
So it wouldn't be done by December. Yeah. You don't think we would have it in place by December?
There is. Okay, so I probably don't know what I'm talking about. There is absolutely no reason whatsoever why it can't be implemented before then.
Okay.
Yeah, I would suggest that if you're standard.
But we just need to make sure that we can do this.
There's no reason why it can't be. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think Mr. Payne said that we can instruct the treasurer to do this.
Do you need a vote?
Can't instruct the treasurer to do it. And I don't know that off the top of my head who controls this. My guess is that you probably can say that.
Yeah, we're going to use credit cards.
That you can't use credit cards, right. You'd have to coordinate with the treasurer, certainly. Yep. But you know, it's kind of like the old statement, he doesn't get to heaven if he doesn't die. You might as well go ahead and start looking into it. Mm-hmm. To see.
Just rather than just saying, here we're going to do it, you know, what you're feeling about this and so on and so forth, mm-hmm. It's a treasure.
Is it a collection of agreement?
Isn't that right?
No,
I agree with you, but I've done that. So.
Okay. Well, then you do what you have to do.
I'll just add that I reached out to the treasurer and made several telephone calls to both the treasurer and her and other people in her department. I did not get a return telephone call. So anything on here that has treasurer as a department involved in the activity, I did not get any feedback or input from.
I'll follow up with Ms. Leonard. I've got lunch on Monday with the constitutional officers, and I'll follow up. But I've personally followed up on the specific items that were designated for the treasurer. But I have to be careful how I push, because she's the constitutional officer. It's her department. And we just try to be supportive as we can. We're ready to go.
Yeah.
And I'll squish a little bit again, but there's no reason why this can't happen relatively with relative ease.
Right.
And
because citizens are beginning to push back more and more.
What would be the concern about going ahead and starting the RFI process?
I'm not sure if that's under our
realm. I think you'd be premature to do that. But having somebody check informally to see what's available, I think would be perfectly appropriate.
We'll do what we can and do a little scan of what the other counties around us do. I already know what the answer is.
I think that's a good idea. Check around and see what some of the other counties are doing.
I know what the answer is already.
I'll
write it down and hand it to you.
Are there any others, Ms. Myers?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we can move along here.
And see, but it's they're already using them.
Okay, I'm going to B6 now.
Any more questions on A though before we move down?
Mm-hmm. What the conversation is, you have the go ahead from the board to pursue whatever you need to do to work with Linda. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. But as far as making any kind of request for proposal, I'm not sure.
No, I'll do that in concert with the treasurer's office unless we find legal authority to do it separately.
Correct.
We just want to make sure it works well.
Mm-hmm. So. All righty. B6.
Okay. B6. Okay, so brings up the issue of communication with Fluviana residents, and there are plans for website improvements that are being put together. We've done some research and had our website evaluated and gotten some feedback that way, and so we're going to move forward and try to look at some improvements just to make it more user-friendly and easier to access for the residents that might go there. Then I'm going to go to...
I'm going to back up to 2B. Have we reached out and come up with anything about meeting and having breakfast or lunch with our state representatives?
For this fall is what we're planning. The spring one we obviously didn't get, but Mr. Smith will be coordinating that with David Blount at TJPDC.
All right, are we doing one just for Fluviana, or is this just going to be the TJPDC one?
No, ours.
Okay.
But David Blount just helps with the contacts with the legislators, and we'll bring state legislators. Of course, the U.S. representative and senators will also be invited, but it'll be probably likely state representatives or their staff would come.
Am I the champion for communication? What am I the champion for? Is it communication? I thought it was in this package.
You are.
I was thinking about it.
See the top of the screen, ma'am?
Because I was thinking about the
breakfast. Booker?
Yes.
Yeah, the blue line.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So you have communication.
I can reach out
to
Mr. Ware and Mr. Garrett.
Yes. We'll do Mr. Ware. Well, Mr. Garrett may not be.
Well, if it is.
He may be in a different. Well, no, we'll do it before the November election.
So. We'll do it before then, so he is.
Yeah, he'll still be the state senator. Okay?
Okay, now moving along to C1.
Any more questions on B?
No, that's one I wanted to make sure we were following up on.
Sir.
Okay. C1, it's under project management. Apparently, we need the county attorney to do a little more research before we can move forward with C1, and that's because of some kind of the issues in zoning and things like that.
That's a complicated issue that we've talked about for a couple
of
years.
Yeah, it's a little hard to explain. And then I would move to C4. Develop and adopt a Fluviana County Master Water and Sewer Service Plan implementation schedule. More research has to be done on this project in terms of budget, because cost is an issue, and I spoke with Mr. Stevens, and he says that the cost involved in this may be an issue. We haven't identified exactly where all the funds would come from, so it's really setting up, you're looking at the issue, how much it would cost, and where the money's coming from. Then I will take you to C10. About the Palmyra Village streetscape project. We're working with VDOT to see if grant funding can be secured. Of course, as we all know, there was grant funding secured for the Fork Union streetscape project, so hopefully there'll be some other options out there for Palmyra.
The streetscape in Fork Union, when they laid the sidewalk and then they had the grassy area, and it was so bad, I sent my son down there to cut it. I don't know whether we're going to be able to do it all the time, but it was, it's just coming up. And some of those limbs and things need to be cut back, because well, I don't know if you can do that, not because it's somebody else's property. But if Palmyra is going to do a streetscape, I'm hoping that they don't place that little grassy area.
Don't leave that little 2 foot wide.
I would personally, and I don't know that we can do this, and Mr. Stevens can chime in. I don't know that we can do it, but I'd rather go tear all the grass out and put gravel there than what's there. They were originally talking about making that brick, weren't they, in the space where the grass was? But we didn't have the funds to do that.
That would have been all right.
Yeah.
Something else, you know, needs to be done. And some of the people who may cut...
if the board had just funded more, we could have done the brick.
But that from the post office...
Budget to begin with.
Yeah, it was
crazy.
Crazy.
From the post office down to Pure.
I just want to let you know. I mean, most property owners take care of the frontage of their property. Some do a better job than others. I think the issue right now is that from the post office down to the corner is most of that land is owned by.
Nobody
the parcel that has that older house on it that was the original home of the military academy, and then the gas station. And I don't think there's anyone living in that house right now.
And the gas station is closed.
I believe if someone were to be living in that house, you would notice that being tended to much better. I mean, most people take care, even when you live along a road where there's no curb and gutter, you mow out to the VDOT, and you even trim in the VDOT ditch so you make the front of your property look good.
We mow down the side of the road.
So we're going to take care of it till the summer.
We do appreciate that, because I definitely don't have the public works manpower to take care of that every week as well. But as far as limbs go, if there's specific limbs, this is all out in VDOT right-of-way, so we can probably be better served to ask VDOT to take care of any limbs that are hanging down that need to be taken.
And I'm worried about just kind of a quickie project where you just, you know, get some folks out there and tear up the grass and dig down a little bit and put some black paper down and then throw some mulch on top, because the mulch is going to wash away as soon as it rains, and then somebody's going to want some new stuff. Whatever we do needs to be a good, real, live, no-kidding, low-maintenance solution, and that may be replacing that strip with brick, and we can figure out what the cost it is and get some estimates on it, as long as VDOT says we can do it, and then put it before you sometime in the future.
Or we can hire a neighborhood kid, pay him $10 a month. Cut that, take 10 minutes.
Well, one of your sons.
I was going to say, we'd hire a 15-year-old volunteer, yeah.
As soon as he gets his license, he can drive, and I get a trailer, we're good.
I think the supervisor from that district probably ought to fund that project.
Yeah, that's me. I think I'll just have to go with that with the bottom.
Like I said, the county administrator.
But I don't know how to do a bottom home. My husband never let me cut grass.
My wife doesn't let me cook either, so.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
Jane, I'll try to stay on top of it.
Well, I'm not necessarily advocating for this either, but there is a sidewalk there as well. And there are, of course, localities that in areas where sidewalk fronts on properties, they hold the property owner responsible for clearing the sidewalk when it snows, say.
Right.
And similarly, most of those same places also have the property owner responsible for taking care of any vegetation that's out to the edge of the curb. Like I said, I think most of the people in the county actually have enough pride in their property to take care of it themselves. And I honestly think if someone was living in that house right now, this would not be an issue. But
Can you talk just briefly about your concerns about the streetscape out here?
Oh, well, streetscape out here is a lot more complicated than Fort Union, because there are significant drainage issues. There is one drainage structure between the north end of Main Street, where it meets 15, and the parking lot that's right across the street from here. On the Public Works Building side of the road, and I don't think there are any on the other side of the road. And when it rains hard, I mean, we're right at the verge of having water coming in the front of the buildings. Additionally, the drainage structure that is there doesn't, well, it has a short section of pipe that comes out of it. It goes out onto a person's property, or it may be county property, we're not 100% certain where the line is, and then it goes down a little gravel section of riprap channel and then enters another pipe, and nobody can remember who put the pipe in, or, I mean, I know VDOT put the structure in, but as far as, and then, of course, there's the concrete channel that runs along, the drainage channel that runs along there in front of the park.
Or you could lose a child.
Which has one end of it, the southern end of it is starting to collapse and fall into itself. And so there's some significant drainage issues that need to be taken care of actually before you try to do any kind of a beautification project out there. So that's one of the things that we've been talking about with VDOT is, would they intend to take care of those drainage issues as a maintenance project and fund it that way and then follow up with a streetscape project, or do they want to try to fund the whole thing as a single streetscape project? And they haven't made up their mind about that yet.
Anyway, that's an update on that one. It's
that's the status of that one.
But you're taking care of the drainage system out here.
Yes, well, actually all the way down Main Street, so from the north end where the
sidewalk.
That's actually been behaving a lot better during rain. I mean, there's the sidewalk has a couple of bird baths in it. There's no way you're going to keep water from collecting in that, but the 2 or 3 inches of water that would be standing on that brick after or during a large rainstorm, I haven't seen since we had it regraded. Okay. Seems to be doing well.
If we'd had stamped concrete instead of bricks, it would have been better. I'm just saying. Bricks are hard to maintain.
Okay, next I'd like to draw your attention to E4.
Any questions on the D's?
So the ones that you didn't identify are the ones that are in the works, or
right? Ones
well, based on the color code, they're either not started, underway, or finished.
Right.
And I'm just talking about the ones where I know there's been some movement, but it doesn't mean, of course, like Mr. Nichols is pointing out, you can raise a question about anything. So I'm just trying to show you where we're moving forward, which is why I'm going to go to E4. There's been some change in the proffer guidelines because of recently passed legislation. So the staff is reviewing that and trying to see how they can work within the legislation to the benefit of the county and bringing in any businesses that might we could benefit by proffers from. Are there any questions on any of the items in E?
E6, we have been talking about that for a good while, and I know that Mr. Weaver has done these reports, so.
That's what he brought to us, Mr. Dahl brought to us last time. Remember, he had the huge amount of paper.
I'm talking about.
Oh no, that was the accounts payable report.
Monthly.
This is an investment and an accounts report from the treasurer's office.
That's common in counties. We wanted one monthly.
Was it monthly? We wanted.
Yeah.
We talked about that at the finance board, and monthly. She was sending it out, and then we talked about making it quarterly.
She gave an investment. Accounts report to the finance board, but
everything
we need one to the board.
To the same account.
Yeah, but I think we still talked about the monthly.
Yeah, it would be a part of your consent agenda. I mean, not consent agenda, part of your, in your package, you always have the at the end of your package is the capital reserve account balance, the Board of Supervisors contingency balance. This would just be a report that just shows what the investment balance is in account balance.
Yeah, I think that's good. We should.
Yeah, and many counties do that. I mean, it's pretty common. We just have to
get everybody on board. Huh? Yeah.
And you say, in this fact, you're going to give us samples, and we decide which one would meet our needs.
That's what you had directed, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Are there any other questions?
Yep. The other one, just as a note on E5, I can assure you that if we convert from paper mailing paper checks, and more electronic transactions, it will make a difference in the efficiency of our operations. Mm-hmm. I mean, cutting paper checks and putting an envelope and frank them and mail them in this day and age just doesn't make much sense. Now, if it's a minor bill, it's a one-time bill, that's one thing. But if it's a recurring thing, we ought to have electronic accounts set up to all the nonprofits you fund so that mm-hmm. once the budget's approved, those electronic transactions are going. It's just part of your banking process. Mm-hmm. But
does the county can use any bank? We don't have to just use BB&T.
No, that's right. Wherever the best value is, and should be reviewed every 2, 3, or 4 years, like any contract, to find out where the best value is for our banking services.
Right, but if I have an account, if I don't want to have an account with BB&T, and I have an account with Union, can you send it to Union?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. Definitely. Yeah, it does. It's not depend the where the money's going is not dependent on what bank we're with or vice versa.
Okay.
And in almost all cases, businesses that are medium sized or larger certainly are set up to take electronic payments, mm-hmm. and it's just an account to account transaction, and it's just incredibly common. So.
I would think all banks would, even the smaller banks would have.
Yeah, the size of the bank is not so much of a problem, but there are some accounts that you can't do. Well, for instance, if you have a savings account at Union UVA Credit Union, you can't do electronic transfers out of that without doing like wire transfer fees, but you can't do electronic transfers back and forth to other accounts like you can from some other banks. It just depends on the account. But for paying our bills, that's what we're talking about here, for paying our bills, there's no reason why we can't do much of it as electronic. Now, it's not that we don't do some now, but it ought to be a significantly higher percentage so that we don't have to process checks.
We put those checks in the envelopes and lick them and send them. I'm sorry.
You talk about it.
We don't
like them. Yeah. You got
those sponge things, yeah.
No, we could definitely push that one a little bit more. Some of that falls more on my side. So.
But in any case, it just is a collaborative effort, and it's the kind of thing that it's getting better tomorrow than we were today, and it's just keeping up with the times of how business works today most efficiently. One of the things we've been trying really hard for 4 years to do is to not increase staff, but increase services and increase efficiency. And if you make this easier to do, so you don't have to stuff a bunch of envelopes with checks, well, then that person can do this instead. And it just allows us to be more efficient. So,
so does, just from the mechanics of how this works, does the finance director issue the checks that are then signed by the treasurer? Is that really the way that happens?
So the electronically
signature, right? Right.
Then they have to release the checks.
And then it goes through the checking accounts that the treasurer has selected, or the banking accounts that the treasurer has selected from that standpoint. So I guess the question is, does the finance board have any input into that process given the type of checking account that may generate or not generate investments?
Finance board is, well, from that perspective, I don't know. That's kind of a stretch because they're really talking about real investments, not that you're in, 1% on your checking account. So I don't think that the finance board, based on state code, as it's written, gives the finance board any purview over banking practices and things. It's investments. Mm-hmm. And so it's really the investment tools. So I think it would be a pretty big stretch to say that the finance board would have an influence over checking accounts because of their interest-bearing nature or something.
Well, and I don't know if it's necessarily the checking account per se, but obviously a lot of banks will come in and say, if you have a savings account with us of this, and this type of a checking account,
we
can provide these services, ECH, number of services at no cost.
And that's precisely why every 2 or 3 or 4 years you need to go out and look at that again, because if you can find a competitive way where if you maintain a $3 million balance, then you earn this much on this, or you get free 500 ACH transactions a month or things like that.
Yeah, and because of that, that's why I was wondering whether there's a tie-in from that standpoint. I don't know the answer.
I think it's a stretch. We can ask the county attorney to look at the code language, but the code's not very long, and it's not very detailed, but it's specifically focused on investments. Mm-hmm.
So. So when does the finance board give their report? When is their, you're doing it quarterly?
They meet next Monday.
Okay, so we should do, we ought to know when it's going to be. What months do we expect to see something?
Well, hopefully, if whatever comes out of this finance board next Monday, the 11th, can be on your August August
the first meeting
agenda.
In August.
Right.
Who's on the finance board?
It's by state code. It is the chair of the board of supervisors, a citizen of appropriate background and good repute. It's language to that effect, and the treasurer. Mm-hmm. And the treasurer, as an elected official, manages our investments in our accounts. I mean, that's what she's elected to do, is do those things. But by state code, the finance board can direct investments, as long as they're legal and doesn't violate the state code requirements for investments, can direct investments by the treasurer, as long as it's within state code. So, and they've done that. They've directed investments into the Virginia investment, or the Virginia investment pool. And
you've already said how much we've saved or how much more money we've gotten.
We've been getting a report on how much we've earned.
Right.
As compared to a year or two ago.
Oh, there's no comparison whatsoever. Right. Right. Yeah.
But
it's also going to be easier for Mrs. Lenhart and her staff to manage now, too, because it's, instead of having a disparate out here in different places, it's consolidated into a couple of places now that are still easy to move money around, but much higher interest bearing.
Right. So. But I think it's going to be key which month you pick in that quarter report. You don't want to be in December when the treasurer is doing, or June when they're doing the taxes.
Sure. Well, so, but there's this is a push the button thing.
Okay. Yeah. All right. It truly is.
I mean, that's what we have munis for. This is a push the button thing.
Okay.
It's not much more complicated than that. It just is a change in way we do business.
Okay.
And who is our citizen rep?
Mr. Garcia.
Okay. Rudy?
Yeah, I know it's a stretch, but it's the only person we could find. But we had some really good candidates for that.
We would have put you on it, but you decided to run. So,
Mr. Garcia, okay. He's very active with it, and Mr. Sheridan is there all the time. It's a good discussion between Ms. Lenher and the group, and then Mr. Dahl provides support and guidance and advice on the finance side of it. But it's fruitful.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you very much. All righty. So we're done with our presentation. Now, next up is the consent agenda. And the consent agenda is E, minutes of the June 15, 2016 meeting. Ratification of FY16 Columbia Hazard Mitigation Grant Program, Mr. Dahl. G, resolution recognizing Nicholas Paul Lackey, Eagle Scout. H, future Farm Heritage Museum survey and site plan. I, FY16 cell tower applications budget supplement. J, FY16 minutes. Library state aid budget supplement. K, FY16 Sheriff's Department budget transfer. L, proclamation recognizing National Night Out, Andrew Gaines. And M, FY16 Social Services Insurance Claim, F-2015 Ford Focus, VIN number 6315. Anybody wants to pull any one of these?
I thought I'd just mention here to begin with, certainly with E and some comments on I and J, but E, when we look at that first page of the minutes, we go down through here. For example, update on business. It's pending. Something else is pending. All these pendings. Where does that leave us? Does that mean three people have said to move it on? So
this is what you said that night.
Yes.
It's not what's happened since then. It's what you said that night. And so the pending one just says that it's pending what's to the right of there. Commissioner of Revenues to provide revenue and options along with cost and staff impacts at the August 17th board work session. So it's pending the data to come back on it. You may or might, you haven't decided anything yet. You needed more information, more data, and that's what comes back to your work session. And I'll actually be doing those several things at the 17th work session. And then the only ones that you've approved is the business license fee to prepare the plan, the policies, the draft ordinances, get that ready to put on the agenda and for public hearing. The three up top already either done uh-huh. or already approved. We've already sent the letter. And then the two at the bottom that say pending are really just a timing issue. It's on hold until budget season, until the first of the year. But the four in the middle pending ones are in process, but you haven't formally and finally approved anything because we have to come back with formal recommendations now, sir.
Right. Well, you'll need three people to move it on.
Right. Absolutely. Right. And the only ones that I'm convinced that the board said let's do it was the ones that the four they say yes. Those are the things that are ongoing. Now you haven't finalized the business sure. license fee because you still have to approve it going to public hearing. Then you have to hold the public hearing, and then you have to vote to implement it if you so choose. But you told me to go forward with that. The other ones are still up to you, and you've not voted on them. You just told me to continue working on those.
Well, I just wanted to basically clarify that.
Sure, yes, sir. Yeah, and if it's unclear in there, I'll gladly change the language to what you think is more appropriate. So I don't want a citizen reading it and thinking this is a done deal or it's not a done deal, unless it really is, and that's why they're pending. They haven't been approved.
Well, the number seven, strengthen the land use program revalidation. Mm-hmm. We've gotten a couple of letters, one that you passed out yep. today. So I think it is causing some stir.
Right, but at the briefing, when we gave you that briefing, we listed the things that were possible about the potential for enforcing the existing regulations that they are, as discussing things like what do you think is a reasonable recommendation to the commissioner's office about when to set the land use values. I mean, should it be tied to reassessments every 2 years? If the reassessment goes up 2%, then land use values would adjust 2%. Those are the things that came up that night, and you wanted some further information on, is what the board, a majority of the board said that night. Now, you can tell me to stop all engines. I'll be glad to, but one thing of note, I didn't know this until actually Mr. Stevens had pulled it up, is if someone is in arrears on their taxes, they can be taken out of land use too. I didn't know that, but anyway.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So.
I'll gladly do less work, but this is what I took from that meeting that night. We recorded
seven,
that night.
Does the majority of the board want to come back and get the Commissioner of Revenue to? I'm not sure provide options is a good word, but to just answer questions. I think Ms. Booker had some questions.
And one of the things I've done is I've already asked John Thompson. And,
No, Mr. Weaver?
No.
I've got to say that the idea that the board, and of course there are a couple of members on the board who are participating in the program, would not even bother to review and understand the programs, is really a disservice to the taxpayers. I think it's critical that when we have almost 45 to 55% of the people in the county that don't benefit from this program, at a minimum, that it be reviewed by the board. So the idea of trying to take this off right now before we even met with the Commissioner of Revenue, had any options presented, is really, really, really disappointing.
Well, often you've often said that the county is subsidizing the farmer, and they're not. We're not. The farms don't cost the county what a home does with children.
I can give lots of examples, okay? For example, we don't subsidize people for driving more efficient cars. In fact, we tax them more, okay? That's an example of how a subsidy can be perverted. In this case, we have a subsidy under which somebody might be in land use. They can be under one of three programs, but there is no enforcement of that land use program. So if somebody says, I'm in farm use, and they actually don't sell anything, they get taxed the least amount, okay, or there's very little enforcement. Mr. Commissioner Revenue can, and this is the point, is Commissioner Revenue can come up and tell us what is actually happening. But for example, if you haven't generated any revenue as a farmer, then should you be under the farm program? How many years can you do that without being under the farm program?
Well, if you're under forestry.
And if you can't, should you be moved to open space? So it's not a question as to whether or not we should have a land use program. It's a question as to how can the land use program be tweaked, changed and modified in a way that is fair to all the taxpayers involved. And I don't think when we have, you know, say taxpayers who are farming at a hobby level, that that is necessarily encouraging the economic or agricultural development of the county. Okay, I don't think that that is a good example of land use. That person should be in open space. I think that's an absolutely fair thing to do. I think that's fairer to the person who is actually farming, that the people that aren't farming are in open space. Greene County, for example, only has an open space policy. They don't have a farm use policy from that standpoint. I think when you look at the distribution of the county and how it's set up, you know, the citizens who aren't able to benefit from it should have an understanding of how that program works. And if the board doesn't even look at it, the board doesn't even bother to look at it and get the information from the Commissioner of Revenue, I think that's a disservice to those citizens.
The four of us who are in land use, mm-hmm. we understand how it works. We have to.
Okay.
And, you know, Mr. Sheridan, you can go in and you can ask, I have. How is this parcel analyzed versus this parcel? And it's done by the type of soil that's there, and they have great big maps mm-hmm. with the different types of soil. Am I right, Mr. Sheridan? Can you help me out here?
But I think, yeah.
I'd be happy to, but I'm going to speak to just one point since this is deals with my office. I take exception. I appreciate Mr. O'Brien's comments, but I take exception with the fact that he's maintaining that it's not enforced. That's just not right. It may not be enforced in the way that you would like it to see it enforced, but it has been enforced for more than 50 years. And it there are a number of things that the people that are in this program have to do. And one of them is an annual application. I mean, everyone knows that. People are removed from this program. It has got rollback taxes that are strictly enforced. So I'll just say this. I'm not going to get into a discussion. You didn't want me to. But I can't sit there and let you lead the public to believe that there are no enforcement of the land use policies. It has been strictly enforced. Let me finish, please. I'll be happy to answer any questions y'all have. But options are y'all's responsibility. You know, I sat at that table. Y'all got to make some hard decisions if it's what you want to do. But I'm certainly not going to come in and say these are the options that you should consider. That's not my role. My role is to enforce the policies that y'all have in place. And I do that, I think, very aggressively. I will tell you, there were a number of properties that were removed from the land use program just this year. Mm-hmm. And from a variety of reasons. Some of them were non-compliance. Some of them were failure to return their paperwork in a timely manner. But I do think you should know that the policies that we have, which are your policies, are enforced.
Let me rephrase.
Enforced. Yeah, so again, Mr. O'Brien, I've talked about this. Mm-hmm. But I don't want you to think that it's not enforced. That is simply not the case. I'd be happy to entertain any questions at another time.
So for example, from the standpoint of options in an application, okay, how much revenue does somebody need to generate per acre of land to qualify for land use?
They have to be participating.
For farm land use,
they have to participate in an agricultural activity.
And does what, or a forestry activity. Of participation?
But they don't have to generate a revenue because
they
might.
I think the term is bona fide activity, which is very loosely used. This is the point of that type of discussion. What is a bona fide use? Because if
bona fide use is having a forestal application, a bona fide use is having forestry management on your property. You don't generate a revenue with trees annually. You might decide not to do that for 25 years.
But my point wasn't about forestry, was it? My point wasn't about forestry.
Your point, I'm not
my
sure
point
exactly
was more
was
about specifically the farm, the agricultural one, right?
Agriculture.
Which, if you're an agricultural, correct me, but I think it's $275 per acre is what the value is.
That's not $250.
$250, okay, so it's even lower. It's $250.
It's much higher than what the state recommends. Is this where y'all want to go?
Yeah, but this is the kind of example, right?
It's much higher than the state recommends.
Hold on, Mr. O'Brien. We've gone on far enough right now. I'm going to call this back in because right now we're going down a road.
I believe I have the right to continue, Mr. Payne. Is that correct?
Well, as I understand it, you're talking about the minutes. And the issue with the minutes is what was said, not what should have been said or what somebody...
Correct. So we're just discussing what was said in the minutes.
And you're in the process of taking a
No, it went beyond that.
Of course, you want to continue on with this, and
that is not a discussion about the minutes. That's changing the agenda. That's changing the agenda. If we're going to remove from the minutes, then we're not going to talk about
it. Hold on, Mr. Payne. Let me ask Mr. Payne.
The issue is what the minutes say. Do they accurately reflect what actually happened in the meeting? Now that's the subject. And I think anything else is out of order.
Anything else out of order? Okay.
So you can certainly take it up under a different
item. We can take that up at another time.
And it's one of the recommendations that night was to see if there's anyone that can augment the discussion as a subject matter expert. John Thompson said that he sent me a contact. Dr. Gordon Groover from Virginia Tech is one who helps people understand what land use is about, what it's for. So he can be available sometime. And that was going to be brought up at your August 17th.
Yeah, and we I feel, Mr. Chairman, that we definitely need to have a thorough discussion and understanding, because since the Flu Vanna Review did the article on land use, and when people see Moselle Booker has in land use, she saves $945 of taxes. There are questions. People need to understand. Nobody's trying to hide anything. Nobody's trying to take land use away. I want my constituents to understand land use. So if this doctor can come, or if we could just have a good conversation about it and address it, I think that's what we should do. And the Flu Vanna Review, Christina does a good job of putting the facts down. We can't just continue to roll over it.
We can't continue to just keep talking about it either.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Well, I don't know. We've talked about water for 40 years, so I think we can continue.
I think we do need to have that conversation. I agree that we talk about water forever. Let's do that.
So
do the minutes
reflect what you want it reflected?
Yes.
That's what I recorded from that evening.
I would take out the word options. And be more like the benefits.
I think that's specifically. I think that is specifically what we discussed.
Oh yeah, it has to be.
I don't know how you
options.
Can take out the word options. No, was very specifically discussed
to provide the options, benefits, and recommendations.
The question is, what did the board say on that day?
Right.
Yeah.
Not what you should have said.
Well, I'm not sure if it was said as an.
I don't know.
Majority or just as one or two people said.
No, everything that was written on here that had any recommendations for doing stuff was majority.
We need to do this.
And I'll head whatever direction you want, but that's what we recorded from that meeting.
You know, we keep going over this. Let's go one way or the other.
We already decided. I thought we voted that we didn't have
you, it. So the correct procedure, I believe, is going to be, if you want to bring this back up, we close the discussion around the consent agenda and you bring it up under old business. That would be the correct procedure.
That would be appropriate.
All right. Well, consent agenda. Anybody want to pull anything else?
Something else. One is L.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, yeah.
L, the proclamation recognition National Night Out. It says the first Tuesday, and I just talked to the sheriff, but nothing says the time. I didn't see the time in it anyway. So it,
sure.
I understand
you
it's 6:30.
From five to eight.
And that needs to be in our fan mail.
Anything else for the consent agenda?
You want to explain that motion there where it says I move the board supervisor approve a supplemental appropriation of $12,000 to your 16 planning commission budget to reflect the increase in the number of cell towers, which certainly we're all familiar with, and obviously we're getting more applications for that. Are we saying that we're going to, what are we going to?
Pretty much what this is, Mr. Weaver, so we budget for the budget process.
And we've already done that.
We say we're going to get so many cell tower applications.
Right.
And that money that we get is pass-through money. We pay a third-party vendor for that. So say...
Oh, money goes through then.
It's pass-through money. So if we budget for two but we get four, we still have to pay for four.
I'm forgetting about that. You mentioned
applicant pays $4,000.
Yes.
We pay a consultant $4,000. But if you've only budgeted for four of them in your budget,
but
when,
you
when you now have six of them, you have to modify the budget. That
okay, I recall
it's just
now.
Just modifying the I mean, it's modifying the number to show the number of pass-throughs there were, so that your budget reflects yeah. accurately.
That's
otherwise the planning budget, the planning commission budget would be over budget for what we had to pay vendors because
sure.
we don't have the budget.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's part of the official record. That's why we're coming back to you each time. So there's nothing changed in budget without the board approving that official record change.
Well, there's documentation.
Sir.
How about Jay?
Is Jay for the library?
Yes.
Same thing. So when we adopt the budget in April, we usually have... what's this for? This is a library today. We usually have an estimate number at that point. So then after, you know, once the fiscal year kind of, you know, gets rolling, the state comes out with a more concrete figure at that point. This is basically just reflecting that concrete figure. We had budgeted for $62,000, but we actually got $65,000. Same thing. The library basically, we get money in. The library has to spend that same amount of money on certain types of books and programs within their budget.
Okay.
In this case, let's say the budget for this year was $1,000, and you were going to get $1,000 in federal tax revenue to support that program. So we've got $1,000 in expenditures and $1,000 in tax revenue coming in, and that's your budget. It's a balanced budget. But let's say the state funds $1,003. We can't just take that $3 in. It has to come back, and he has to get the budget modified by you. So now it's $1,003. Even if we only spend $1,000,
those $3 have to be spent for library.
But in any case, you have to adjust the budget so it still balances, and you have to account for every dollar we receive. If the dollars are lower or if the dollars are higher, that's what we come back to you on. Most of these are not new expenditures. They're new pass-throughs or new.
I was just wondering if
sure.
it was necessary to increase that budget figure that you had already determined for this year.
Mm-hmm.
And you answered the question. So I don't have any more questions.
Ms. Booker, did you have one?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
All righty. Does anybody have a motion on the consent agenda?
I move that we approve the consent agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion been made by Ms. Booker and seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Passes 5-0. Next, we move on to unfinished business. Oh, two things I need to bring up right now. Probably in the wrong spot. But I did, while we were sitting here, got a text message with the Times for this week.
Okay.
From Mr. Vest. Visitation will be 4 to 8 from at the funeral home, and that's Friday evening, and Saturday the funeral will be 4 p.m. at the high school.
Do you know for Saturday, sir, is that inside, you know?
I'm sure it's going to be in the auditorium.
Okay.
I would imagine that's why we're doing it at the high school. Although, knowing Mr. Vest, if all the people Hall show up, he's hauled sports events over the last
could
40
be
years.
The stadium, yeah.
Brian might need the football stadium.
Yeah.
Second thing, if anybody can possibly do this, having said that, this young man is being recognized for the Eagle Scout, and I believe it's 2 o'clock Saturday. I'm going to be indisposed at the high school. I'm going to need to be there, so if anybody can go and present this Eagle Scout Award,
I'll do it.
Can you make it?
And I can do it if someone else isn't available here as well.
And where
okay.
is it?
Well,
is it
it's going to be at... Yes. Exactly.
St. Peter's
Paul. She's better known to read it. It's either St. Peter's and Paul or the late Christian. All righty. So is there any unfinished business? Is there any new business?
Do we want to discuss what we were just discussing about mm-hmm. land use under...
Do we want to bring up any old business?
You guys want to discuss it, but I got to tell you that the idea of not even looking at it reflects very poorly on the board from a transparency perspective. I just think it is ill-fated to go down that route without even having had the Commissioner of Revenue present, or having other board members present their concerns, or other citizens present their concerns as well. So
you know,
I
just wanted to tell you,
against going down that
okay,
road.
All of the people who are in land use who live here in the mm-hmm. county, we pay taxes just like you do on our mm-hmm. home and the 2 acres under it. You know, you have what, 5 houses at the lake,
mm-hmm.
and you pay taxes on each one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have 3 houses on my farm,
mm-hmm.
and I pay more than twice what you pay. So, I mean, it's not like the farmer doesn't pay their fair share, because we do. We all pay for our homes and the land under, just like everybody else.
The question isn't whether or not you pay or don't pay. The question is the different programs that are in place and how those programs are used. So, for example, back to farm use as opposed to open space use, which there is almost a $200 per acre difference on the value of the land, which is already discounted by about 96-97%.
So
may I finish, please? So if you've already received that discount, but you actually don't produce any farm goods, you actually don't bother to try to sell them, you actually don't do anything with them,
but
how is that? And I'm not accusing you. I'm just saying, how is that bona fide use? And if we don't understand what is bona fide use, okay, if we as a board don't understand what the bona fide use or the bona fide attempt is to be in the farm use program, how can we say we're being transparent? Okay, we might as well just say, if you own more acreage, we're just giving you a 93-96% discount. And you know what, Lake Monticello residents, don't worry about it. Or by the way, if you happen to own less than 7 acres, don't worry about it. It's good for the county. The fact that it's 75% or more of the county doesn't really matter. It's good for the county.
Okay.
I think the idea that we don't even bother to understand it and discuss it as a board, and that we just whitewash it off the list before that has even been presented, shows an incredible lack of transparency on the part of the board.
You're also going to, it's going to cause, people won't buy open land here.
I think that's a gross assumption. So what you're saying is that if I have to pay on a piece of acreage, if I have to pay essentially $4.
I wouldn't be able to afford it.
You might not be able to afford it,
right.
Okay? You might not be able to afford it. That's great, but there might be other people that can afford it, all right?
Maybe.
There are other people who would say, to your argument, which is every time we raise the rate on the homeowner, they can't afford to stay here.
That's true.
Okay, so the question is, where are the revenues coming from? What is the balance of revenue? Here is one source of revenues that is, under the benefit of a handful of people, okay, a lot less than the majority of the county, and the question is, how is that being enforced? I'm all for agribusiness. I want to see that grow. It pains me to think that we don't have enough Virginia grapes, let alone enough local grapes, to grow and develop our wine production in the area.
Well,
I'd like to see more businesses do that. And I'm all for somebody being in the farm use the land use program under the farm thing and getting the benefit that they can if they are actually running a bona fide activity and business to do that.
Do
if they're not, then I don't think
hay?
They should do that.
We can go on like this and this conversation to be dominated by
you. Let Mr. Weaver go.
No, I just,
can
you know,
I
let's move on.
Can I just do one more thing? Yeah. Could you put that chart back up that we decided on when we had that workshop? Okay. Number, which one it was we just looked at? Number,
Number 7.
Okay. Number 7. It said strengthen land use program revalidation. And it says pending, and in COR to provide options, benefits, and recommendations at, we even put a date, at September the 7th Board of Supervisors meeting. Why can't we just go ahead and do that and just put a yes there and let's just move it forward and let it be. Because I do think if we're having this much of a debate and pulling and tagging and so forth, and it's good, I'm not saying it's not good, then it says to me that we need to put it out there and dig it out and put all the concerns in there. Nobody's trying to get rid of land use, and it may continue the way it's been, but at least we'll understand it, and there are many people with questions about it, that they can see that we hear them and that we've had took some time, and they can come and listen to it, and we have a good report. I think it's a good opportunity for us to do that. I mean, I don't see...
Well, it just keeps dragging on and dragging on and dragging on.
So when is the last time the Commissioner of Revenue sat in front of the board and presented in detail how the land use program is implemented, the options around the land use
program? He's available to anybody in this town.
No, but that's the point, is he is going to do that then. My question to the board right now is, when is the last time that happened? So when you say it keeps on dragging on and on and on, when is the last time that happened? You've been serving on the board for 28 years. When is the last time that happened? It's a simple question.
It hasn't.
Yeah.
10 years, 20 years, 28 years?
People have been satisfied with things.
Again, the county's changed a lot in that period of time. So the reality is it has not happened, right? And so we have board members right now who don't even want to look at it. I think that shows utter lack of transparency. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. And I would certainly suggest that some board members have serious conflicts of interest if they bury it.
Well, that's your opinion.
I'm sure other people will share my opinion on that.
Let's do it.
The one thing I will say is, I think Mr. Thompson, who was the gentleman, Mr. Thompson?
Dr. Groover,
right.
From Virginia Tech.
Dr. Who? Right.
Groover.
Yeah.
Groover.
Yeah. I mean, I really look forward to
I would be interested in hearing what he has to say.
Absolutely.
But when it comes down to, I don't like things, well, there's a whole lot of times on this board that I haven't liked things because it didn't go the way that I wanted it to go. And I try not to go back and bring it up because I ended up on the wrong side of it. Now, as far as looking at it, I think we hear Dr. Groover.
I think there's a good story to tell. Let him tell a story and then ask your questions.
Let him tell the story of land use and...
Because I don't understand.
Then we'll make a decision one way or another to leave it alone.
But I believe we specifically asked the Commissioner of Revenue to present facts and figures behind the land use program as well, too.
Okay.
I believe that was part of what we discussed, and that would be the expectation
that the Commissioner of Revenue does that. John Thompson wrote a letter, too, and I'm sure he would be here. And it's just... something that we need to do, and then it will be done.
Right. I believe the question options is, you know, what are some potential options? And I had a very fruitful discussion with the Commissioner of Revenue. He provided a lot of very good ideas. I'd like to see him present those to the board. I've asked him some other questions that I'd like to see him present to the board as well. And I think that would be the right thing to do. And then, of course, the board will make a decision, and the will of the board will suffice on that. I don't have a problem with that. I do think that trying to bury it at this stage in the game is really, really bad form.
Yeah, and I think with what Mel said when he came there, he said people lose their land. I think people need to know that. People know, how do you lose your land, your opportunity to use land?
You should know what a bona fide thing is, and it's not defined. It's one of the things that's not defined. You know, the SLEAC is a self-defining mechanism. It just continues to go circularly downwards because you don't
have
to present any revenues from it.
Okay, Ms. Eager.
Suppose someone has farmed all their life, mm-hmm. lived in Flavanna, grew up here, born here, mm-hmm. and they get to be 80, mm-hmm. and they can no longer go out and
then they should go to open space. If they're not farming any longer, then why should they get a $200 acre discount if they're not farming?
They go to open space.
They go to open space. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty clear, simple thing to do.
Okay.
Because I'm even thinking about looking at my little 20 acres and considering some open space. So,
Because otherwise, and everybody who's in open space should go ahead and move to farm, because clearly there's no definition behind farming. You might as well save yourself another $200 an acre.
All right.
Or save yourself the taxation on $200 value per acre.
Okay. Alrighty, well, let's see. Our new public hearings.
New business.
We will now open the second round of public comment. Anyone wishing to speak and address the board may step to the microphone, keep the comments to 5 minutes, and state it to the board. Anyone wishing to speak?
Mill Sheridan. I live at 89 Covered Bridge Road, and I wanted to speak just briefly to a couple of points. I'll get into the discussion y'all want, but it's not a $200 difference between open space and agriculture, 75 if you want to be specific. And there's a reason for that, but I don't want to get into all of that. Be happy to tell y'all which, how the program's run. There is bona fide. Bona fide is a bona fide program is let's see. I believe that as this program has been implemented, it is absolutely bona fide. A landowner is required to state under penalty of law that they are performing a farming operation. Mr. O'Brien's correct. In Fluvanna, it's never been a requirement that you produce an income from farming. Gosh, I hope it's not, because I don't know many farmers that actually do produce an income. You're required to have an agricultural application under agriculture. That means you have to have agricultural animals, you have to produce an agricultural product. That generally is hay. It could be another crop, but it's routinely hay. It could be a matter of having someone use your land to produce that hay. If our office finds out that you have reported inaccurately, not following through, you're taken out. If you don't have the, if you exercise a more intensive use of the property by way of subdivision, you are removed from the program. If you fall below the minimum acreage, and you pay a pretty steep rollback penalty, and that's a requirement of the program. Open space is certainly an option anyone can apply. It's got a little higher requirement. You have to have a minimum of 10 acres to be in open space, but that's the board that approves that. That's y'all's program. Y'all approve every open space contract, you and your predecessors. And unless you change that, that's the way it'll continue. We present those to y'all, and it's your option to approve or not approve. And that truly is a program, other than a more intensive use, that is doesn't have a requirement to do anything with the property. You just maintain it in an open capacity. You don't have a more intensive use by way of subdivision. That's generally the case. But I will assure you, agricultural as well as forestal, bona fide uses are verified and are annually certified to by signature of the appropriate landowner. It is not some willy-nilly, fly-by-night, loose-end program that's not got a follow-up piece to it. Now, are other counties doing it differently? I will tell you, it's like zoning. Zoning is developed under general guidelines, but it comes down based on how it's been defined in individual counties across this Commonwealth. Land use is a bit like that. It's just like taxing, as you know, a meals tax or lodging tax. It's a local option, and the local option is the Board of Supervisors' option. If y'all decide that y'all want to be more stringent in how it has been determined to be bona fide, that's clearly the board's call. One of those options could be that you require a profit to be made, but I would care, you know, I would ask you to at least consider the opinions of the Chamber of, not the Chamber of Commerce, but the Farm Bureau, and certainly Extension. Those, frankly, are the professionals. And if you're going to require everyone that's in an agricultural land use application to produce a profit, yeah, you'll kill it, because I have very few farmers anywhere that are making a profit. They all work another job because they do what they love. They take care of the land.
So can I ask
I'm
you
sorry,
question?
This is my time, finished? Mr. O'Brien. And I'm speaking under as a citizen. I will tell you, I have had far more interest on the part of people concerned about land use that are in it than I have people who aren't in it that are asking me what's the scenario. But I do think it would be fair to eventually put this to rest once and for all. I mean, dragging this issue on is certainly y'all's option, but I don't know that it serves any real good purpose. I'll be happy to answer all your questions and tell you how it's administered in my office. With regard to options, you know, you tell me what you want to do. And that's the way I believe you should consider it if you're going to choose to. But if you don't hear from the Fluvanna Farm Bureau and from the Extension office, I believe you will have, you know, not taken advantage of some really credible people and resources.
Thank you, Mr. Sheridan.
Thank you.
All righty. Anyone else? Okay, Mr. Weaver.
Two things. We're going to the Morris Room. Dinner will be over there. And the last item on the closed session list is a new item. I got this from the county attorney. It's about public safety.
Public safety.
There's a new code section on there that's been added to the sheet in case you need to talk about public safety.
I see it. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I move that Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors enter into a closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711A.1, Section 2.2-3711A.7, Section 2.2-3711A.16 of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended for the purpose of discussing personnel, legal matters, and public safety.
We miss real estate.
In real estate. Second. All righty, we've got a motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. We're now in closed session.
Morris, Mr. Weaver. Man, you can start reading.
Mr. Chair, I move the closed meeting be adjourned and the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors convene again in open session. Be it resolved, the Board of Supervisors does hereby certify to the best of each member's knowledge only public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements under Section 2.2-3711A-A of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended, and only such public business matters as were identified in the motions by which the closed meeting was convened were heard, discussed, or considered in the meeting. A second and a recorded vote needed.
Second.
We have a motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Ms. Booker. Recorded vote, Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Ms. Booker?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Ms. Eager? And chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. We will now reconvene the regular meeting of the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors to order. And I believe we are now going to be on the public hearings. Do I have to do public comment?
No.
Okay.
You'll do that in the public hearing.
Okay. First public hearing, get to my script here. The item is N, proposed ordinance to amend Section 5-2-2 of the Fluvanna County Code. James Newman, acting senior planner.
Yes, sir. We have a PowerPoint, Mr. Nichols.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. Thank you. Good evening, members of the board. I have for you two motions for consideration. The first is an amendment to Ordinance Section 5-2-2 to exempt county-owned property used for county purposes from the applicable fee schedule of the building ordinance. And the second motion is an amendment to Ordinance Section 6-1-5 to exempt county-owned property used for county purposes from the applicable fee schedule of the Erosion and Sediment Control Ordinance. Currently, county funds are transferred from one account to another, and the county has to go through either the planning or the building department. Updating this ordinance will reduce this unnecessary step in the development process, allowing for quicker project completion. The language that has been added to both sections is the foregoing notwithstanding, except as otherwise expressly provided by law, none of the fees listed herein shall apply to any property owned by the county and used for county purposes. I have a motion for the building fees and then another motion for the erosion and sediment control fees.
Okay. Are there any questions from the board?
Okay.
Any nope. Questions? Okay. Hearing none, we'll open the public hearing. Please keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and direct it to the board. Anyone wishing to speak, please approach the podium. Seeing no one wishing to speak, with no one else wishing to speak, we'll close the public hearing. Any questions or comments from the board? Do we have a motion?
I move that the Board of Supervisors approve an ordinance to amend Chapter 5, Article 2, Section 2 of the Fluvanna County Code to exempt county-owned and operated properties from building fees.
Thank God.
Are we doing this?
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion's been made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Mr. Newman, next.
All right. Next item that we have is for Zoning Text Amendment 1601. This is a further amendment to Ordinance Section 22-20-1 to exempt county-owned property used for county purposes from the applicable fee schedule of the zoning ordinance. The exact same rationale as the other two motions. It just removes an unnecessary step and allows for quicker project completion.
Any questions from your board? I'm sorry.
Go ahead. That's it. That's it. I just have a motion.
Okay. Any questions from your board?
This one deals with zoning ordinance. That's why it's different.
Yes, sir. Okay. Hearing none. We will now open the public hearing. Anyone wishing to speak, please approach the podium. Keep the comments to 5 minutes on topic and direct it to the board. No one's wishing to speak. Are there any more questions from your board? Do we have a motion?
I move that the Board of Supervisors approve ZTA 1601, an amendment to the Flavanna County Zoning Ordinance entitled An Ordinance to Amend and Reenact Chapter 22, Article 20 to the Flavanna County Code by certain amendments to sections and subsections 22-21. Therefore, amending and reenacting the Flavanna County Zoning Ordinance to conform to the current enabling legislation as amended.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's been made by Ms. Eager, seconded by Mrs. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Next, we have PSUP 1605, Dominion, Virginia Power.
What question? There were two motions on the previous one.
Yeah.
There are three different sections of the...
We only read one of the previous ones.
5-2-2. We didn't read 6.
Why I said the next one.
Right.
So we'll go back to this bottom one here.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. 5-2-2 is building code fees. 6-1-5 is erosion control.
Right.
We never read that one. That's why I didn't read the other one out.
Okay.
I move that the Board of Supervisors approve an ordinance to amend Chapter 6, Article 1, Section 5 of the Flavanna County Code to exempt county-owned and operated properties from fees for grading and land disturbing permits, plans, and related reviews.
Is there a second? Motion's made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mrs. Eager. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. That passes 5-0. All right, now, SUP 1605.
Mr. O'Brien is now staff. Thanks for the assist. We would have had a problem on that one.
All right, a third item. Special Use Permit 1605 for Dominion Virginia Power. This is a request for special use permit to relocate a private microwave communications tower with respect to 91.05 acres of tax map 59-7-1. It's located in a rural residential planning area. The purpose is to erect a 390-foot tall self-support lattice tower as a replacement for a 325-foot tall guide tower structure, which dates from the 1970s. This is a private tower. It is not used for commercial purposes, although it is a co-location for Flavanna County ENS services. This is an aerial photography. You can see there is an existing tower in the bottom right-hand corner. And if you look at the big screen up top, we have the location of the basketball court where the new tower will be erected, about a distance of 1,400 feet.
That's
just here.
Oh.
Yeah.
The blue eye is where the new one would be.
Or just roughly to the east of that.
That's at the power plant.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Just west of the softball field.
Right. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. In fact, all the land around here is zoned A1 except for the I-1 zoning, which is the power plant in the bottom corner.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is view of the existing tower, again, 325 feet. It's got guide wires and it's visible. This is the location of the proposed location for the new tower, and this one, again, distance about 1,400 feet is what they're moving. This is looking towards Bremo Bluff Road. This hill here acts as a barrier, so folks will not be able to see the support structures at the base of the tower. Also, when you're looking from the road towards the site, there's a group of trees there in the back, the dark colored ones. Those further block or act as a screen for the buildings themselves, and when you're driving along the road, the trees by the road act as a screen for the tower, so there should be no visual impact for this. Conclusion, this is a request to relocate a private microwave communications tower. It's used for Dominion only and also by Flavanna County Emergency Services. The only potential adverse impacts would be the visual impact or tower structural failure. If you have questions, the applicant is available. Otherwise, I have a motion for the board.
And you can't see that towel from the community of West Bottom?
That's what I wanted to bring up. I noticed in the motion that it does not have 390 feet in that. It just says relocation. And when you go back in some of the information on May the 6th, 2016, public hearing on SUP 1605, in that letter, it does not have anything at all when they notify the people that it's a 390-foot tower. And that bothers me because I think that's one of the most important things of all. I mean, relocating sounds, you wouldn't think much about that, but when you hear a 390-foot tower, I think you might think twice about it.
We did send out neighborhood meeting letters.
325 is the existing.
That's the existing one. The new one is going to be
165 feet higher than the one.
The reason it's going higher is because the elevation's changing on where the tower is going. So from a visual impact, it'll be very similar. But it's higher because where it's going to is a different elevation than what the original one was.
I understand that.
But I understand your point. If it's not listed in the notice, I haven't seen the notice. So.
Well, yeah. It says this letter is to notify you that the Fluvanna County Planning Commission will hold a public hearing on the above referenced item as noted below, and it doesn't mention anything about the 390 foot. So all I'm saying is, how can they object to it if they don't do it? And you can say, well, it was in the newspaper, but people just don't notice those things very much. That's my concern.
Did they have the list of people?
Well, whoever they were, it says public hearing, dear so-and-so, and that would have listed all the ones that were adjacent there.
Because I was wondering, you know.
There's a list.
Is it a list? I know I saw a list in
here. Next page after the letter.
They always have a list in here.
Yeah.
Ms. Weaver, it's right there next to the letter.
What page is it?
The next page after the letter.
Well, it's not on the next page, but
it's like that.
It's a short list, right?
I imagine it's short.
Yeah, it's the one right after the page where your hand is. Tell me
which page the letters.
Right there, the page on your page right in front of you.
Here, okay.
Oh, clear.
That's on 120. There's a number.
It's on Virginia Electric, with the exception of Carr and.
Okay.
Yes, sir, most of the property owners owned by Virginia Electric. We did send neighborhood meeting letters to all the adjacent property owners, and there was the public hearing sign as well, and the notification in the paper.
Okay, so because it's at the intersection of Green, that's right down there.
By Spring Garden.
Sure. I know it's Spring Garden, but that's by the community, it's right down there.
Oh, it's right there.
I just want to see who they sent the letter to. That's
Francis Gurr's only.
That's my district.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, he says Virginia Kerr's the only person. The rest of that was Virginia Electric Power. No, there's from Richmond.
Okay. I just thought that they should have had that in there. I think that's. But anyway, I think it should be put into motion.
Okay.
There is, in case you're wondering about it, having it enforceable, the first condition deals with the height.
What's that?
It's a special use permit subject to conditions, and condition number one specifies the maximum height.
Yes.
So we're opening the public hearing?
I'm trying to figure out if we're adding to the motion or
well, not. That's up to the board, but I certainly think that the 390-foot tower should be placed in that motion someplace. Just to talk about movement of the tower certainly doesn't give a person a full view of what's really being done, and to me that's more important than necessarily the location if no one has commented about it.
It's listed in the 11 conditions.
Okay. All righty. Well, are there any other questions from the board? We will now open it to public comment.
Is there anyone speaking, wishing to speak to the board? May come to the mic and keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and direct it to the board.
Public hearing.
Anyone wishing to speak in the public hearing? Okay, we'll now close the public hearing. Are there any other questions or comments from your board?
Let's see, I'm looking at this map. It's like an attachment D. Existing baseball field.
Yes, ma'am, that's the softball field right off Primo Road.
Yeah.
I'll pull it up on the screen, Ms. Booker.
I'm sure.
Right there.
That parcel right there that's on the center screen.
Mm-hmm.
And so these
so
are.
So where's the intersection of Primo Bluff and Winnebong?
And which one?
At the intersection, it's a mile west of the intersection of Primo Bluff Road and Winnebong.
Probably this one here.
Or is Guinevere down there? This Tenth Street goes through town.
Right there where the West Mount Church is.
Okay.
Right
here.
Okay.
Glen Arvin is out here.
Yeah.
So we're coming right down here towards the ball fields.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's right on top of the hill. When you come past the plant, you can see the ball field. It's only opening to the real nice brick house.
Mm-hmm.
You pass the real nice brick house,
yeah,
and it's about 400 yards up on the right.
For the school for the girls.
Alrighty.
This just as a.
We're going to tear down the old tower, correct?
Right.
Yeah.
The old tower comes down. Spring Garden is to the left here,
mm-hmm.
up Primo Road.
Right.
And so that's good because you're.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
I move. Do you want to do that?
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Mr. Wheeler wants to.
I move that the Board of Supervisors approve SUP 1605, a request for a special use permit to relocate a private, not to exceed 390-foot microwave communications tower with respect to 91.05 acres of Tax Map 59, Section 7, Parcel 1, subject to the 11 conditions listed in the staff report.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion been made by Ms. Seeger and seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Next, we have QZMP 1603, Columbia Floodplain Ordinance Adoption. Mr. James Newman.
Sir, final presentation, sir. This is an ordinance to amend the Fluvanna County zoning map to include within the special flood hazard districts of the Flood Protection Overlay District the area within the limits of the former town of Columbia. This affects the town of Columbia, which was reincorporated into Fluvanna County. This is a copy of the flood map. As you can see, the southern and middle portion of Columbia are within the floodplain. And so by going through this motion, this allows people who own property there to apply for or to continue to receive federal flood insurance. Now, this is something that is mandated by the state as part of the town's reincorporation process. This does not enforce any new building code requirements other than those already in existence, and the Planning Commission recommended approval at the May 25th meeting. At the June 8th neighborhood meeting, there had been 4 attendees, and they learned about the insurance rates and the building code. And again, this is just bringing the town of Columbia into our floodplain map so that they can continue to apply for or receive federal flood insurance. With that, I have a motion for the board.
All righty, are there any questions from the board?
I don't have any.
No questions from the board? Hearing none, we'll open the public hearing. Please keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and direct it to the board. Anyone wishing to speak? Okay, with no one else wishing to speak, we will close the public hearing. Any more questions or comments from the board? And do we have a motion?
I move that the Board of Supervisors approves the MP 1603, an ordinance to amend the Fluvanna County zoning map to include within the special flood hazard districts of the Flood Protection Overlay District the area within the limits of the former town of Columbia pursuant to County Code Section 22-17-8A et sec.
Second.
All right, motion's been made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Okay, now I believe we're going to go back into closed session. Mr. Weaver?
Okay. I'll just read the ones we had before and that'll cover everything.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chair, I move the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors enter into a closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711A.1, Section 2.2-3711A.7, Section 2.2-3711A.19 of the Code of Virginia, 1950, as amended for the purpose of discussing personnel, legal matters, or public safety.
Okay. I have a motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The chair votes aye. 5-0. We're now in closed session.
Mr. Chair, I move the closed meeting be adjourned and the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors convene again in open session. Be it resolved, the Board of Supervisors does hereby certify that to the best of each member's knowledge, only public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements under Section 2.2-3711-8 of the Code of Virginia 1950 is amended, and only such public business matters as were identified in the motion by which the closed meeting was convened were heard, discussed, or considered in the meeting. A second and a recorded vote needed.
Second.
Motion has been made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mr. O'Brien. Recorded vote, Mr. O'Brien.
Aye.
Ms. Booker?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Ms. Eager?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0.
Mr. Chairman, I move to adjourn.
Do you?
Somebody please second.
Second.
We have a motion made by Ms. Booker, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I thought you were going to have a nice one. And chair votes aye. Be 5-0.